हरे कृष्ण। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट 211 या 211 टू 214। Okay, I'm going to read the translation for 2:11, 12, and 13, and then we will chant the verse for 2:14. So, text 2:11, translation and purports by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. All the gopis, the personal friends of Srimati Radharani, are equal to her. Krishna is pleasing to the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, just as the moon is pleasing to the lotus flower. His pleasure-giving potency is known as Ahladini, of which the active principle is Srimati Radharani. She is compared to a creeper with newly grown flowers and leaves. When the nectar of Krishna's pastimes is sprinkled on Srimati Radharani, all her friends, the gopis, immediately appreciate the pleasure 100 times more than if they were sprinkled themselves. Actually, this is not at all wonderful. Purport, this verse is also from the Govinda Lilamrita 10.16. Next text. Although the gopis, Srimati Radharani's friends, do not desire to enjoy themselves directly with Krishna, Srimati Radharani makes a great endeavor to induce Krishna to enjoy himself with the gopis. Text 2:13. Presenting various pleas for the gopis, Srimati Radharani sometimes sends the gopis to Krishna just to enable them to associate with him directly. At such times, she enjoys a happiness 10 million times greater than that enjoyed through direct association. And then we come to text 2:14. Translation and purport. Translation. The transcendental mellow is nourished by that mutual behavior in transcendental love of Godhead. When Lord Krishna sees how the gopis have developed pure love for him, he becomes very satisfied. Purport. Srimati Radharani and the gopis are not interested in their personal happiness derived from association with Krishna. Rather, they become happy by seeing one another associate with Krishna. In this way, their dealings are further nourished by love of Godhead. And seeing this, Krishna is very pleased. So we are discussing this Madhya Leela, chapter 8, verse 2:14. And it's actually a very difficult section to discuss. So we'll see. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. It's a very difficult section because this is conversation between two great personalities, Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Both are equally extraordinary. One is Vishakha Devi, another is the Lord Himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So when there's a conversation at that level, one has to be at that level to even comprehend or understand. Just like I was once in California attending a scientific conference, and there were two scientists who were talking about frogs. They were both researching on the mating habits of the poison dart frog in south, in the Amazonian forest. So seemingly quite a mundane topic. And I thought, yeah, how can it be difficult? But the way they were describing it, so difficult to understand. So such a mundane object, mundane topic, is so difficult to understand. We talk about aerodynamics, all kinds of, you know, sciences. It's so difficult. And here is the highest science of love of Godhead being discussed by the Lord Himself with His most dear friend. So it's not for us to comprehend. However, there is always something in these conversations that we can take immediately and learn. And there are two things in this verse. Two words. Anyonye vishuddha preme kore rasa pushta. Anyonye. And that word is really, really powerful. Anyonye means mutual. Anya and anya becomes anyonya in Sanskrit, Bengali. It means one another. To come together and do something collectively. And that mutual cooperation between Srimati Radharani and all the gopis to serve the Lord is being represented here. So essentially two things are spoken of. The first thing is that the experience that they have. So you see, generally when you interact with someone directly, you feel, let's say I'm speaking to Chetan directly, and he's a very important person, then I enjoy more than, let's say, Govinda who's sitting there. He might be wondering, oh, well, I don't have access. So the person who is far away generally feels less connected. But something strange has been described here in the previous verses, that those gopis who are further away from Krishna feel more happiness than Srimati Radharani herself. And so Srimati Radharani sometimes pushes these gopis in front of Krishna to directly associate with Krishna. And when she does that, she feels a millionfold more happiness. Now this is very different from what we experience in the material world. But we can still understand it. First of all, how can everyone be happy at the same time? So once an engineer, he asked me this question that, you know, when I go to the spiritual world, there'll be Krishna, there'll be Radharani, there'll be the gopis, and there'll be so many of them, and I'll be the new entrant, you know, the new boy or girl in town, and how would I be happy? I mean, nobody's gonna really, you know about me. So I explained to him that if you look at a circle, if you draw a circle with a center, you see, if there are many such circles, big and small, with different centers, then they conflict. You draw one circle and then you draw another circle, it intersects. This guy was an engineer. I'm an engineer too. So when the circles intersect, there's conflict. But imagine you have the same center. You draw a smaller circle, you draw a bigger circle, you draw another big circle. Will there ever be conflict? Will there ever be an intersection of different circles, of different diameters or radiuses from the same center? There won't be. So when the center is the same, everyone, No matter how far out you are, because the center is the same. The happiness is the same. Just like, you know, when my children were born, their great-grandmother, who was then 90 years old, was still alive. And her happiness was so much, it was more than my happiness. She was actually far removed. But because the center was the same, the children, I was happy, my mom was happy, my father was happy, and his mom was happy. So, I actually had a personal experience of this. So that's about happiness. Then about the intensity of happiness. Could you think of an example where the intensity of happiness or intensity of anything, the magnitude of anything is higher the further away you go? Could you think of any examples? Of course, the mother would be more happy than the boy himself who's won. But I'm talking, somebody even more far removed is more happy than the mother. Like we are explaining here, that the gopis are more happy than Srimati Radharani. When Radharani is with Krishna, the happiness she feels, and the happiness the gopis and the sakhis and the manjaris and the alis and I can go on, they feel much more multiples of happiness. So we understand this very simply. If you throw a pebble in a pond, from the center, there are ripples projected. And these ripples, they actually increase in intensity. In fact, if there's an earthquake under the ocean, there are some ripples formed. And they project out and become a tsunami. So the intensity increases the further away you are. I also had quite an interesting experience once. We were this is the early 90s. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he used to take everyone to Pune for a retreat. And we'd also celebrate Vyas Puja there, but in December, it would mainly be for like 3 days, 5 days retreat at the Mafatlal bungalows in Pune. There was only some 300 of us in the congregation, so it was possible to go. So we would travel by train, the Indian Railways, from Bombay to Pune. And Radhanath Maharaj would be seated with all of us. He wasn't in a first class compartment or anything. We were all together in the same compartment or multiple compartments. And there was something unique that we used to do. And Maharaj would start a kirtan, and then the kirtan would become wild at some point. And the train's running, and Maharaj would be the first one. So these are, if you've been to India and you've traveled by train, these trains have wooden seats. They are not like, you know, foam seats, wooden seats. So Maharaj would take his sandals off. He would stand on the seat on a running train, stand up. And usually there would be some dignitaries with him, like you had, most common were Jayadwat Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, and some sannyasis from New Vrindavan would come once in a while. So Giriraj Maharaj would always be there. And Giriraj Maharaj, he would pull him up, and Giriraj Maharaj would stand up on a running train, fast-moving train, on the seat, and everyone would stand up, and then there would be a kirtan. And the style of the kirtan was this. Fast, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, everyone would push. So Radhanath Maharaj would push. And then he would push Giriraj Maharaj. Giriraj Maharaj's hand would be on somebody else. He would push that person, and then everyone gets pushed. And then, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, everyone would be pulled. That was the style of the kirtan. And this would go on for a few hours. So, I was young, I was a teenager. I would be right at the front. So, usually most of the yatras, I was next to Giriraj Maharaj, and Giriraj Maharaj is so mild. If you ever met Giriraj Maharaj, he's milder than a you know, he's softer than a lotus. So he would hold my hand and he would push me so gently. Radhananda Maharaj would push him and he would push me so gently. And then he would pull me so gently. He wouldn't even actually pull me. He would just hold my hand and I'd pull myself forward. You know, because that's how Maharaj is. So one of the yatras, I had to use the restroom, toilets, and I came back and the kirtan had already started. So I found myself right at the back end of the queue. And I thought, well, this is not going to be fun. So I was there standing, whoever the last person was holding his hand, and then came the wave. And it was, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The last Hare, it hit me, and I was completely, shaking, and I was holding the seat, not to fall off. Hare Ram, push. The next push came, and I was thrown off the seat, and I landed in two old ladies reading the newspaper, completely uninterested. I landed in their newspaper, completely on their lap. And I wasn't this big that time. I was very frail, and so they could manage, but they weren't pleased. So I said, this is fun. I got back up again. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Nityodit Swami from New Vrindavan, he joined me, and he joined behind me. And then I got pushed, I got thrown off, and he flew into a, they have these ticket collector's seat. The ticket collector was seated and completely tired and sleeping. He flew off and landed in his chair, and he started dancing like a peacock. So that was his style of dancing. So I experienced that when the intensity of being near Giriraj Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj wasn't the same as the intensity right at the back. More intense. So the love that Radha and Krishna feels, the gopis, they feel more. Now there is only one thing that's important. That intensity is fed only as long as the chain is completely connected. So here the word anyonye is very important. Anyonye means mutual. So one is about the experience. The experience is more the further out you are. But the other important point here is anyonye vishuddha preme kore rasa pushta. By mutual cooperation, anyonye. Ta sabara prema dekhi Krishna hoya tushta. Krishna hoya tushta. Krishna becomes pleased. How does he become pleased? He becomes pleased by seeing the cooperation of the gopis and Srimati Radharani. What is that cooperation? Pushing each other forward in front of Krishna. That is what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. So that cooperative spirit is the backbone of spiritual life. And what does this mutual cooperation do? As it says here, it actually makes Krishna happy. Krishna haya tushta. Krishna becomes happy. Actually, sometimes we think that we are very able. We are very able individuals. And I don't need to cooperate with anyone. I mean, I know what I'm doing. That is generally how our egos tend to sort of make us think that you are so able, why do you need cooperation? So we find that actually when the creation happened, right at the beginning, the primary creation happened, all the elements were created. Everything was there. The agency of the mind, the ahankar, the different sense organs, the different primary devatas of the 12 directions, they were all there. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, it says, Tada samhatya chanyonyam. Tada samhatya. Samhatya means Everything came together. Everything was assembled together. Anyo anya, mutually assembled together. They were created, but they were standing there. Nothing was moving forward. The universe could not be created. The elements were created, the components were there, but the universe could not be created until such time that Bhagwat Shakti Chodita, until such time that Bhagwan himself entered in their company and put them together. So it is Krishna or Krishna Shakti. Bhagwat Shakti Chodita. They were inspired by Bhagwat Shakti. Until they became inspired by the Lord as the center, the creation could not take place. Sadasattvam upadaya chobhayam swasrujuyada. This srishti, this universe was created only after the Lord's intervention. So Krishna in the center is a must, is a requirement for anything substantial to happen. And we see that even in all the Lord's associate. Think of Hastinapur, there is cooperation. Think of Dwarka, there is cooperation. Think of Rajbhumi, there is cooperation. It's only in mutual cooperation that there is happiness. Few examples, few evidences from the Shastra. Again, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, we find that the Lord is going to Hastinapur. And there's a description of what is going on in Hastinapur before Krishna reaches Hastinapur. So this is, the battlefield is over and then Krishna is there at Hastinapur. What's happening? Anyonyamasit sanjalpya. Anyonya, mutually. Here also we see anyonya, mutually. The residents of Hastinapur are mutually discussing. Sanjalpa. Uttama shloka chetasam. Why could they be mutually cooperative? Why could they mutually discuss about Krishna? Because uttama shloka chetasam. Their mind was absorbed in Krishna. So today we are all blessed with the presence of Nidra Devi. I can see many of you, you know, blessed by Nidra Devi, which is okay. It's fine. I like to say this many times and I say it again just to wake you up a little bit. You know, Lord Ramachandra, when he fought in the battle of Sri Lanka with Ravan, Ravan's brother Kumbhakarna was killed by Ramachandra. Kumbhakarna had, what did he do? Do you know what he did, Kumbhakarna? 6 months sleep and 6 months eating. So he had two wives actually. One wife is Annapurna. Her name was. She was in charge of 6 months of feeding. Another wife's name was Nidra Devi, who was in 6 months of sleeping. So when Ramachandra killed Kumbhakarna, that time Kumbhakarna, while dying, he said, now my wives will be without any support. So my dear Lord, please accept them as your servants. So Ramachandra said, yeah, I will accept Annapurna Devi as my servant. So wherever I am, there will always be feast. As far as your other wife is concerned, actually anyone who is my servant is automatically my servant's servant. So wherever my name is glorified, Nidra Devi will serve my servants. So I can see today she is really active, which means I must be doing a good job at glorifying Krishna. So, coming back, this mutual cooperation we see even in Hastinapur. We also see amongst the cowherd boys. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 12, killing of Aghasur, beautiful pastime. But it also shows how Krishna is going out with the cowherd boys. I'll tell you a little bit episode of how he goes out. Krishna wakes up early in the morning. Yes, he yawns. He yawns. And when he yawns, there is a servant, Mukhra. He's sitting next to him. As soon as Krishna wakes up, he yawns. As soon as he yawns, this Mukhra, his business is just to click 3 times. To evade any evil. It is said if you yawn and don't click, then some evil enters your mind. So, his job is that. Then, of course, Krishna wants to go out with the calves. Calves are known as vatsa. Small calves. And he and his friends, so he announces to his friends, he takes the cow horn and he goes, "Ooh," loud. And all the cowherd boys, they wake up. You know, we wake up with an alarm bell. In Goloka, they wake up with the alarm bell of, personally, Krishna is the alarm bell. He blows the cow horn. And they all wake up. And when they wake up, they know, with the sound of the cow horn, where they are going, which forest. Oh, today we are going to Bandiravan. Oh, it's beautiful. Bandiravan is across the Yamuna and there are big trees which act as bridges. There are such huge trees that their branches, the gopas, they walk over the branches. It's like a natural bridge to cross over the Yamuna. So they are excited. They all wake up. And how many gopas are there? How many gopas are there to join him? Asankhyatah. Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami says, Asankhyatah means there is no possibility of counting. How many calves are there? How many gopas are there? So many associates of the Lord. They join. And when they join, they are out for a picnic. The sense is that they are out for a picnic. This happens every day. Imagine your life is every day a picnic. That's their life. With Krishna, they're going on a picnic. What do you carry on a picnic? What all will you carry? Huh? Food and water. Imagine there is plenty of natural source of water. So we don't want to carry water, but food. Yeah, okay. So lunch. So all the gopas, they carry lunch boxes. What else do they carry? Huh? They don't carry blanket because Govardhan provides nice rocks. Instruments for playing. Okay, they all carry a venu. Venu is a flute. You see, Krishna has got a flute. Yeah? What else do they carry? If you go on a picnic, what would you carry? Something to eat? Then something to play with, yeah. Maybe a frisbee, they play flute. What else? They carry a stick. They carry a stick because they have to tend the calves. So they carry a stick to control the calves. And also, the stick is not a straight stick. It's a branched stick where they can rest their arm and stand. So you can see how Krishna has got that stick. What else do they carry? If you are going on a picnic, what would you carry? Anything else you'd carry? Yeah? Your friends, of course. The friends are there. But with you, yes?
Flowers.
There are plenty of flowers in the forest. Yes?
A ball?
Yeah, there are plenty of things to play. Yes?
Buttermilk.
Do you really carry buttermilk when you go to picnic? No, I'm talking we here, modern day, what do we carry? Yeah, somebody said it. Govind the Prabhu says, mobile phone. So, They also carried a mobile phone. Krishna and the cowherd boys would carry a mobile phone. You know what a mobile phone was like? No? You see, Krishna's got that on the altar somewhere. Oh. Yeah, I can see it. It's the cow horn. Why is the cow horn like a mobile phone? See, the flute is already there, so why carry a cow horn and a flute? The cow horn has, you know, if you want to stop, yes. Yes, it projects your voice and it projects the sound. Not so much the voice, but it, you can play different sounds with the cow horn, and the cow horn projects the sound for miles. If you're on top of the mountain, Govardhan, and you want to call someone who is far away, you project, like, what's the first thing if you want to go out on a picnic in the morning? You call your friends on your mobile. That's what Krishna is doing. He's blowing his bugle, his cow horn. And there are different messages passed with the cow horn. That's why it's like a mobile. Come back. Pum, pum, pum. Come back. And then one loud, boom, boom, boom. March, go, run. Yeah. So the different messages is very advanced system. And it would go for miles. So you see, Krishna has got his, on the right hand side, if you are not being able to figure out there, just near where Srimati Radharani's hand is, just below there, is, you can see, his mobile phone. This is the original mobile technology. So, only four things the gopas would carry. Shikya, Bhagavatam says, lunchbox, vetra, the stick, venu, the flute, and vishana, which is the cow horn. Vishana literally means that which penetrates ether, penetrates all substances and goes far and wide. So that is the cow horn. It's a different instrument. Anyway, so they all go. And then what do? They sit together. As soon as, first of all, they go and they have been decorated in pearl and all kinds of jewelry by their mothers. But they say, oh, this is mommy's done all the decoration. We like to be decorated ourselves. So they go and find different minerals from Govardhan and they decorate themselves in different feathers, mainly peacock feather. They sit together and they enjoy. And they play games. Sometimes they say, oh, wherever Krishna is, we run and touch him. Touch and go. We touch and come back. Whoever comes back first wins. Sometimes they mimic the birds. They look at the shadow of the birds. This is given in Bhagavatam. The birds are flying and their shadows are falling on the Govardhan. Big shadows. And they actually follow the shadows. Sometimes they mutually steal each other's lunch boxes. When it's time for lunch, they sit together and they say, oh, what has your mom given you today? And the gopa says, today I think she's made nice parathas for me. And the lunchbox is gone. And they flick the lunchbox in any direction. And it lands with someone. And the gopa says, oh, whose is this? Okay. And then the person whose lunchbox is gone missing, he says, oh, I thought I did bring it, but I don't know what's happened. And the person who landed with the lunchbox, when the gopa asks him, oh, did you see it? Did you see it? He flicks it again. And sometimes they do that with Balaram's lunchbox. Sometimes, or most of the times, they do that with Krishna's box. They say, hey, Mother Yashoda does not cook for you. Where's your lunchbox? No, no, she did. She definitely did. Madhu Mangal says, you are going to be committing a great sin today. Your sin will be that you are going to starve a Brahmana. I am a son of a Brahmana. The first offering that you should make is to me, and you did not bring your lunchbox. So I am going to curse you today, Krishna, if you don't find your lunchbox. Krishna becomes panicky. Where is my lunchbox? So they are playing this game. But mutually everyone is happy. At the end of it, everyone lands with a different lunchbox to the one that their mother had packed. And they still open it, they share it, and they eat. This is mentioned in 10th canto, chapter 12. Mushnantaha. What do? They steal from each other, the gopas. Mushnantaha. Anyonya shikyam. Anyonya, mutually. They are playing mutually, cooperatively. They steal with each other, shikyam, their lunch boxes. Nyatan aracha chikshipuhu. When somebody knows where the lunch box is, the person says, oh, it's here, and then he flicks it behind. Tartratyascha punardurat. And the one who receives it, he throws it again. So they are playing like this. Hasantahascha puna puna. And they laugh. And they cooperate. And they work together. And seeing this cooperation of friends, Krishna is happy. So cooperation is so important. What do the gopis do in the morning? When they wake up, first thing they do, this is very beautiful. Again, 10th canto. The spirit of anyonya, vishuddha preme, kore rasa pushta. The focus is on the fact that there is mutual cooperation, which is so much a need. We see the gopis in the morning, 10th canto, chapter 22, it mentions, Ushasi utthaya gotrai svair. Ushasi utthaya. They wake up. Ushasi. Usha. Usha means early morning. Twilight. Ushasi. At the twilight hour they wake up. Utthaya. Having woken up at the early morning hours, what do? They call each other. Gotrai svair. They call each other not by names, but by their gotras. Gotras means by family names. So, one gopi would wake up and say, oh, Bhanu ki ladli, means, oh, dear one of Vrishabhanu, come. And then Radharani would say, oh, Vishok ki ladli. Vishok is the name of, Vishok Baba is the father of, anyone knows? Oh, Lalita Devi. So Lalita Devi comes. Then, oh, Pawan Baba ki ladli. Pawan Baba is father of Vishakha Devi. So like that, they don't call each other's names. They call their parents' names or gotra. That's what Bhagavatam says. Gotra iswai. They call each other. And anyonya. Mutually. Coming together. Cooperatively. Anyo anya baddha bahavaha. They all put arms around each other. Each other's shoulders. Everyone, all the gopis. Thousands of them. Millions of them. Together. Collectively. Krishnam uchair jaguhu. And they loudly chant the names of Krishna. Remember Krishna. Yayantyaha, sorry, yantyaha kalindyam snatum anvaham. And they go to the kalindi, snatum, to take bath. So this is how, cooperatively, coming together, they go. Now, do they do this only once like we do in Janmashtami, everyone is together? No. Bhagavatam says, the last word of that verse is, anvaham. Every single day, anu aham. Ahan means daily, anu aham means every day. Cooperation, always. So this one thing is so important. And Bhagavatam also says, why we don't cooperate? What do you think? Why do we find it so difficult to cooperate? With each other, yes. Because of false ego? Yes, yes. Yes, absolutely. Krishna is not in the center and because of false ego. Krishna is not in the center because of false ego. Both are the same answer. You know, because When one says false ego, then one own self is in the center. It is self-centered, not Krishna-centered. That is why there is lack of cooperation. This Bhagavatam says, fifth canto, gives the answer for why we don't cooperate. We cannot cooperate. It says, anyonyo vairaha, mutually, they are envious. Mutually, they are against each other. And because of that, sukhalesha heto, and why are they envious? Why are they against each other? Sukha lesha hetu, just for a momentary happiness, because I want to shine, I want to be more important. So this cooperative spirit is very important. In fact, that is a fundamental of spiritual life. So, ananta dukkham cha naveda moodha. Bhagavata says, such stupid fools, moodha, don't understand ananta dukkham. How much trouble they are causing themselves and others by not cooperating. It's important. The most important instruction Srila Prabhupada gave us. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj would say this, I don't know, a million times he must have said this. Well, hundreds of thousands of times. Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada's instruction was, your love for me will be demonstrated by how you cooperate with each other. And that spirit is not there. Why not there? Because the self-centric spirit is there. So there is no cooperation. In fact, the last instruction of Srila Prabhupada when he visited the headquarters in Mayapur in April of 1976 was, he gathered everyone, all the brahmacharis in his quarters, in his room, and he said, this movement has been successful because you have so wonderfully cooperated with each other. So wonderfully cooperated with each other. He spoke from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, the Ohe Vaishnava Thakura song, in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Eka ki amara nahi paaye bala harinama sankirtane. Eka ki amaya na paaye bala. Alone I am powerless. Only with others, only with your cooperation, with all of you, I am successful in this sankirtan. Prabhupada even went as far as saying, sankirtan means kirtan in mutual cooperation. The greatest challenge to the society is lack of cooperation. Otherwise, there are so many able devotees. But unless we cooperate, we will not attain what is the most important goal. What time we? Okay. It's time. So, in fact, once there was in 1976, there was a person, an elderly gentleman, 69-year-old American. His name was Morris Lapidus. He used to come to the New York temple. And every time he would be in the temple, he would ask something unusual. Sometimes he would not know how to do the Tulsi Aarti, but he would want to do the Tulsi Aarti. And once the devotees allowed him to, and instead of offering, you know, drops of water to Tulsi, he took the cup and put it upside down. Instead of, he started plucking the Tulsi, all kinds of, you know, silly things he was doing. So devotees would not allow him to, sometimes he wanted to be on the altar with his, he was not initiated, but he wanted to be on the altar, worship Krishna. So he was, devotees were finding it difficult, but they did not complain. But he complained. He would complain to Srila Prabhupada and he wrote 20 different letters to Prabhupada saying, your disciples are so uncooperative. And Prabhupada would refer to the GBC. One day Prabhupada received this letter. Prabhupada said, this man is writing 20 letters to me. So he wrote a strong letter to Mr. Morris Lapidus. He said, my disciples are doing such hard work, pushing this movement ahead. And they may not be perfect. And you are always asking, why don't they cooperate? I ask you, why don't you cooperate with them? So, you know, sometimes we think, others are not cooperating with me. But the real question to ask is, am I cooperating with them? And that is very important. Sometimes you have to cooperate just for things to move on. Not that there is a reason to cooperate. You might think, well, I don't fully agree with this, but fine. The devotee is working hard to push forward the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so you just cooperate. Once when Prabhupada was there, he had sent Guru Kripa Swami. You can actually see Guru Kripa Swami, his name is in marble, put in the Vrindavan temple. If you go to his Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir, because he raised the maximum money for the construction of the temple. Very powerful sannyasi, Guru Kripa Swami. Prabhupada had sent Guru Kripa Swami to Japan for preaching. He was the GBC of Japan. And then he had made Trivikram Swami the GBC of South Korea. So Trivikram Swami was in South Korea. He had opened a temple. And Trivikram Swami and Guru Kripa Swami could not cooperate with each other. They did not see eye in eye. They did not like each other. So the situation was, Trivikram Swami, who was in Seoul, he had to renew his missionary work visa. And so he had to go out of the country for few weeks before the visa was given. And then he could come back to Seoul. So of course the neighbor of South Korea at that time, the only neighbor where he could go to was Japan, because China was closed. He was communist during the Mao days. So he could only go to South Korea. And as an American, it was easy to go to South Korea without a visa. So he wrote to Trivikram Swami, he wrote to Guru Kripa Swami, can I come to Japan? Did I say South Korea? I meant Japan. So can I come to Japan for a few weeks? Trivikram Swami said, no, you can't come. So he said, Guru Kripa Swami said, I'm just coming for a few weeks till my visa gets sorted. I'll go back to South Korea. I'm not going to preach in your territory. Don't worry. He said, no, only if Prabhupada tells me, then I'll allow you. So Guru Kripa Swami from Seoul wrote a letter to Prabhupada in Hawaii. Please help me out. He's not allowing me to go to enter Japan. So Prabhupada said, why don't you just mutually cooperate? What is the difficulty? And anyway, you know, I don't see a problem you going for a few weeks to Japan. Why should Guru Kripa Swami not allow? What's the problem? So he wrote a letter to Guru Kripa Swami. Guru Kripa Swami wrote back to Prabhupada and said, he can come, Trivikram Swami can come, but he can not stay in Japan. He has to stay on Okinawa Island. We have a little center there. He can stay there. And he has to go back from there. And then Trivikram Maharaj, who was there in Seoul, he wrote Prabhupada saying, Prabhupada, it's all sorted. Thank you. I will go to Japan. And that time Guru Kripa Swami again wrote to Prabhupada saying, I have changed my mind. I don't want him to come. So much difficulty. And Prabhupada then finally wrote to Guru Kripa Swami in Japan saying these words. He said, I'm sorry that Guru Kripa does not want you to come, Trivikram Swami. He does not want you to go to Japan. I have made him the GBC of Japan. And so, we have to follow his instruction. This is Prabhupada. So you have a choice of either to go somewhere else or come here to Hawaii. Imagine you're going from Seoul to Hawaii. Prabhupada said, you come here to Hawaii, be with me for some time. But let us have this mutual cooperation to carry on. Sometimes this Prabhupada, during Prabhupada's time, he said, you listen to him. He's not listening. He's not budging. Okay, let go. Let go because the greater purpose is to have the movement go on. What's the point in infights? So Srila Prabhupada also said, this movement cannot be withered through external forces, but only through internal non-cooperation. So important, this cooperation is the backbone of spiritual life. And this cooperation, anyonya vishuddha preme kore rasapushta, vishuddha preme, with genuine love, when there is cooperation, like Radharani and Gopis, tasabara prema dekhi, seeing their love, seeing their cooperation, Krishna hoya tushta, Krishna becomes happy. Guru becomes happy, Srila Prabhupada becomes happy. Such a profound. And this cooperation is not always easy. Even, you know, sometimes, as I said, cooperation is not easy. Not only is it not easy, it is sometimes very difficult. What do I do? I remember 15 years ago I was at Soho Street. We used to live in central London, at West Hampstead. So Soho was the closest temple. So we used to go to Soho Street. And during Janmashtami, there was a big festival. And then we have feast. And after the feast, there is cleanup. So there is this senior Prabhupada disciple who used to be at Soho Street. He asked me, and so many other devotees, so now it's 2 a.m., it's time for cleanup. How many of you want to help cleaning up? And I did not raise my hand. Everyone else rose their hand. I did not raise my hand. Non-cooperative. So, I was tired actually. And I had a newborn. My wife had a newborn. She was only a few months old. So I wanted to go home. So this Prabhu, he asked me, you, are you going to sweep the floor? He gave me the broom. And then he started talking to someone else. And I quickly asked another devotee, Prabhu, can you please hold this for a moment? The devotee was holding the broom. And I slipped out. Maybe he noticed. The next day is Nandotsav, Prabhupada's appearance day. It was a big feast. So I had a big feast. So after the feast, in the temple hall, Prabhupada would know how difficult it is. After all the mess, the cleanup is a big thing. So they were cleaning up. I quickly, while they were starting to clean up, I went up to wash my hands in the toilet on the gift shop level, second floor of the Soho Street temple, there's a gift shop. Outside which, just next to the stairs, is a small understair toilet, which is where I went to wash my hands. And you know, when you're just going to wash your hands, you don't look at the, or at least my idea is not to look at the toilet when I'm washing my hands. I just go wash my hands and out. So I went inside, washed my hands, and I quickly turned around, come out. And I was coming out. I had this senior devotee standing right there in front of me. And he looked at me and I thought he'll know that last night I ran away. So, but fortunately he didn't remember. And he entered the toilet. He entered the toilet and I was still there, you know, drying my hands and wearing my shoes. So I was there. And I heard a loud scream from inside the toilet. What nonsense is this? And I was wondering, what happened? What must have happened? And the door opened. He stepped out and he said, "Is this how you do it at home?" I said, what do I do? I don't understand. "Go inside and look." I went inside and I looked. And then when I turned, I saw that the toilet seat was right up to the brim with a soup of stool and urine. And this Prabhu, he's telling me, "Is this what you do at home?" And I went out and I said, "Prabhu, it's not mine. It wasn't me." You know, I didn't know what to do. And he said, "Clean." And I said, "He's right there in front of me. There's nobody else I can pass the broom on and leave. So what do I do?" So I said, "Okay, clean. Okay." I go inside and I remember Lord Varadeva, Srila Prabhupada writes that Varadeva went to a filthy place, Patala Loka, in order to rescue Mother Earth. So I said, "Varadeva, you went all the way to the filthy place. I am in this toilet. There are no gloves. There is no toilet paper. How do I do? What do I do?" People had eaten a lot of gulab jamuns that day. So maybe somebody had a overdose. And I don't know how it was like that. But sorry, you are a very nice audience. I didn't need to say that. But I had to use my hand and five fingers right in the deep end. And there were all kinds of things inside with all kinds of feelings. I pushed and pushed and pushed. And I removed my kurta, I removed my all the, you know, kanti mala and everything. And then I did the job. And I flushed. And when I flushed, it overflowed. So I collected everything with my hand, put it nicely back, flushed, 6-7 times flushed. It was spotless clean. And from outside, the Prabhu was shouting, "How much longer?" I said, "Prabhu, it's almost done. Just finishing." And then it was clean. And I had a handkerchief. I used to carry a handkerchief for my daughter. She was very small that time. You know, sometimes she would... So I used that to wipe the floor and to wipe the toilet seat with water. And then I told him, "Prabhu, I need some toilet paper. There's nothing left." So he brought one. So I wiped it again. And there was a disinfectant that I wiped. So all job done. About 25 minutes later, it was just like I do it at home, you know. And I could just revolt. And I could have just said, "Go away. You don't know. How dare you speak to me like that?" I've seen that also. I've seen devotees do that. But just carry on. What's the worst? Some wonderful realizations of, you know, touching, feeling other people's passing away, you know. It's a different thing. But yeah, you get all kinds of experiences in life you have to have. Yeah, this is a nice experience. Cooperation is not difficult if we can put our ego aside. The difficulty is we are in the center. If we can leave that aside, we can cooperate. And even then, even while putting Krishna in the center, sometimes it's difficult to cooperate or do the right thing. I'll give you an example from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th chapter. Can you think of the example where great devotees, even amongst great devotees who have come together to serve Krishna, there is difficulty in cooperation? In the GBC meeting also there is some challenges. Even on the regional governing body there is challenges. Temple committee there is challenges. Even among the trustees there are challenges of cooperation. With the temple commander there is challenges. Brahmacharya ashram there is challenges. I was once helping with samosa making. Even amongst the masis, there is challenges. The strongest masi wants to get her way done. Nana, how to thayas nahi, how to thayas. You know, it's just, cannot do it this way, cannot do it this way. You know, one Masi was so, you know, so strong. I was standing next to her and she said, no, 50 years I've been doing this. It is always this way. It can't be done the other way. And I said, Masi, your blood pressure may increase. Just please, little bit, calm. But non-cooperation, there is difficulty everywhere. See, they are all making samosas not for themselves. They are making samosas for Krishna, for devotees. Still, challenges. We see this example in Bhagavatam. This example is there. 7th chapter, Ashwatthama. When Ashwatthama killed the sons of Draupadi, 5 sons of Draupadi in their sleep, children, innocent children in their sleep. When Arjuna found out, Arjuna took a vow. I will bring the head of Ashwatthama. And you stand on the head of Ashwatthama and take your ritual bath, which you take after, you know, burning your sons, cremating your sons. The ritual bath you take by standing on the head of Ashwatthama. I will bring his head. Great vow. Krishna and Arjuna left. They found Ashwatthama. As soon as they found Ashwatthama, Ashwatthama was bound by Arjuna. Like an animal is bound, he was bound. The first thing Krishna said, Imam Jahi, in Sanskrit he said, kill him. Krishna's instruction. What did Arjuna do? He said, no. I will have to take him to the camp, to Draupadi. So Krishna said, actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, in their commentary they say, why did Arjuna not follow the instruction of Krishna, kill him directly? He did not follow because Arjuna understood, through this difficulty, through this situation, Krishna is testing me. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when devotees come together, if there is a moment of difficulty because of their coming together, if there is a disagreement, it is because Krishna is testing. This is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Jiva Goswami says. So Arjuna understood Krishna's testing. He took him to the camp. Now listen carefully. It's not over yet. In the camp, Draupadi is standing and Krishna again says, kill this son of a Brahmana. Draupadi says, no. She gives 2 reasons. No. Actually, Krishna gives 2 reasons why you should kill him. You should kill him because, number one, he has killed innocent children who were sleeping, which is against dharma. And number two, if you don't kill him, he will incur sin and go to hell. So by killing him, actually you're helping him. He will not go to hell. So kill him. So Draupadi says, no, please don't kill him. For 2 reasons. Number one, he is the son of our guru. And we loved our guru, so we respect him as a Brahmana. Number two, I don't want Kripi. Kripi is the name of the wife of Kripacharya. I don't want her to go through the same pain of losing her only child like I have lost all my children. I feel what it is. I don't want her to feel the same. So Bhagavatam says, Vamya Sabhava. Her natural motherly nature, loving nature of Draupadi overcame her. And she said, don't kill. Yudhishthir Maharaj was standing there. He said, Dharmaraj, right? He said, yes, Draupadi, you are right. This son of a Brahmana should not be killed. So, then next, Nakul and Sahadev, who always agree with Yudhishthir Maharaj. If Yudhishthir Maharaj says it's night, they will say, yes, it's night. They would always agree. So Nakul and Sahadev also said, yes, yes. Correct. Yudhishthir Maharaj is correct. Satyaki Yuyudhan, he also agreed. Yes, it is correct. And then Bhim was there. He's the middle child. He is not the oldest, he is not the youngest, he is the middle. Bhim said, how can you spare his life? Kill him. I don't agree that you are sparing his life. Just see, is Bhim a pure devotee? Draupadi a pure devotee? Arjuna a pure devotee? A disagreement. So how do you cooperate? How do you bring about something? So how should one cooperate in practical circumstances? Yes. Good. Make a decision. Take a decision and do it. Well, how do you take a decision? So Krishna then tells Arjuna, finally, Arjuna, now there are five of you and there are difference in opinions, but you have to cooperate. What will you do? How will you solve it? So Krishna specifically orders Arjuna, please make Draupadi, Yudhishthir and others happy, but also make Bhima happy. So chop his head off, kill him, chop his head off, and also not kill him. How is that possible? So Arjuna intelligently thinks. There, the commentators of Bhagavatam have said, this is how practically devotees, when they are in a difficult situation, how they should cooperate, how they should find a solution. Only one word is given, intelligently. What did Arjuna do? He said that I had vowed that I will chop his head off. Now, Ashwatthama, he has a mani on his head. He has a particular crystal, jewel on his head, which is giving him all the powers. So because that mani is on the head, that mani is as good as the head, because it is through that mani that he is getting the powers. So I'll remove the mani. So he cut off the mani from his head. So that represents the head. And standing on that mani, Draupadi took her ritual bath. Standing on the head. And by chopping his head off, I fulfilled the promise I made, plus what Bhima wanted. But at the same time, I'm sparing his life. And also respect is more important. So there are four different ways in which you can disrespect a Brahmana, which is as good as killing him. One of which is shaving him off. So he shaved him off. So he shaved him, removed the jewel, and intelligently managed both. So when we come across these circumstances where we find it difficult to agree with someone, to be able to cooperate with someone, one, we just let go. We just let go. Like Prabhupada suggested to Tri Vikram Maharaj, just let go. You can't go to Japan. The GBC is disagreeing. Fine, you come here to Hawaii with me. So we can let go in order to, for the greater purpose of just let it carry on. Absolutely. Forgiving is very important. And forgiving is not only important, forgiving takes the burden off the heat that one has in the heart. In Brahmanda Puran, it is said, when one becomes upset or angry with someone, it is like spitting hot coal on someone. But tell me this, if I was to throw hot burning coal at someone, what is the first thing that the coal will do? It'll burn me. When the coal is in my hand, it'll burn me first before it burns the other person. So that is never a solution. Absolutely. So, I was going to say something. Yeah, so we need to cooperate intelligently, not egotistically. And that is how Krishna is pleased. And that is the real substance of this verse. It is in the esoteric section of the discussion between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about Srimati Radharani and the gopis. But the highlight is that they want to, they are so mutually cooperative and they are so much supportive that they actually don't want to serve Krishna, they want to push each other forward. And that is the spirit. You see, if we want to become, if we want to be there in that spiritual world, we have to do the practice here in the material world. If we can't practice now, do you think that you can just chant Hare Krishna with all the anger, guilt, and envy in our heart? We can die peacefully and go back to Godhead? It just doesn't add up. So, the only way to please Krishna is to show our love for each other, our cooperation for each other. Anyo anye vishuddha prema rasa kare rasa pushta. This love actually kare pushta, it is nourishing. That is another aspect. When one mutually cooperates, it is very nourishing for each other. Anyo anye vishuddha prema kare rasa pushta. And that nourishment, tasabara prema dekhi, seeing their love, the gopis' love for Radharani, the Radharani's love for the gopis, the mutual cooperation, Krishna hoya tushta, Krishna becomes happy. So, I'll stop here and take any questions, comments. There's still time, so we'll take some questions, comments, corrections. Yes. Yes.
Harishamu, thank you for the wonderful class. I just had like this pastime in my mind when you're describing Tivikram Maharaj, and so this pastime is, please correct me if I miss some of the details, but so this pastime is about Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj is Maharaj is doing his Ashwamedha Yajna. So I think he has reached till 99 and he's just about to finish the last one. And then Lord Indra, he's kind of like a bit worried that if he finishes the 100, then he'll be the next Indra. So he comes there and he steals a horse. And then the story, I mean, the pastime goes like Prithumara's son will go and try to kind of like hunt Indra down. But Indra will take different forms of sannyasis. That's how the Pakhanda actually originated.
Yes, correct.
And then, so this happened like a couple of times. And then, I think, then later on, realizing that Indra is spreading Pakhandavad, like he's spreading this hypocrisy and stuff like that. So then Lord Brahma will come down and he'll go, not go to Lord Indra, but he'll go to Lord, Prithu Maharaj, and he will say, please, can you stop this? And then I think the Prithu Maharaj will say, why don't you ask him, you know? He's the one who is doing all sort of things. So he said, you know, he won't listen. But you will listen, so please, you know, if you can just stop the yagna, it's fine. Like, and then I think Prithu Maharaj said, okay, fine, I'll stop there. So I thought it was very similar when I was hearing, like, he won't listen, like, so you cooperate and you just, you know,
yes,
like, let it go. So, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's true. It does happen in that pastime. Actually, also, just to add into that pastime, the Indra in that situation was not the Indra that we know now. It was the Lord himself who was the Indra. Because in that particular Manvantara, there was no Indra. So when there is no Indra, the Lord himself takes the position of Indra. So during Prithu Maharaj's time, the Indra was actually the Lord. Because that particular Manvantara, no one was qualified to become Indra. So the Lord himself had become Indra. So Brahmaji says that Indra I cannot approach. I cannot tell him to stop. You, Prithu, you stop. Actually, it's both Both are incarnations, right? It's a very interesting pastime. Thank you for sharing. Yes, Prabhu.
So I'm quite new to all this here, but something that really I'm interested in, you mentioned about envy, because I can recognize I struggle a lot with envy, because I have a twin brother, and usually we are identical twins, and I compare myself so much to him. So at the current moment, he has certain successes that I don't have. Like he has a girlfriend, he's ready to build family, something that I'm not able to do. So I'm very envious of him. It's something that makes me very depressed. Also, I feel that that our father, he loves my brother more because my brother is more successful and I have more problems, depression, like that. So how to deal with this?
Yeah, it's you've asked a personal question and a general question. So I think on the personal front, I would recommend you to speak to someone. There are so many wonderful devotees here. Make friends with a devotee who you can connect with, relate to, and through that friendship, you'll get the nourishment that you perhaps currently feel that you're not getting with relationship with your father, or you know, and some of your answers, questions can be answered on a personal front. Generally speaking, where the cause of envy is unfulfilled desire. The cause of envy, the root cause of envy is unfulfilled desire. If we are envious of someone or someone is envious of us, there is something that either we possess or they possess that we desire. Now the beautiful thing about Krishna consciousness is that we transform our desires and make them Krishna conscious. So right now, like you said, for example, if it's important for me to have a girlfriend, I mean, I'm married, wrong example, but if it's important for say, someone to have a girlfriend or have a house or have a big job, then that person will feel unfulfilled until they attain those things. Until that point, they will feel envy against others who have those things. Bhagavatam says, Narada Muni says, the root cause of envy is unfulfilled desire. So, what is the solution? When our desires become purified, what is the meaning? When our desires are spiritualized, then these things which matter to us, having a girlfriend, having a house, having a, what else you said? Job. Having a big job. These things, when it mattered to us, we will feel the envy. The moment it does not matter to us, where is the question of envy? For example, if we already live in a palace of gold, will we feel envious of someone who has just built a palace of marble? No. Because we have gold. Something which is less important is not going to make us envious. So when our desires are spiritualized, how are they spiritualized? By engaging in devotional service. By engaging in the service of the Lord. George Harrison, this place owes a lot to George Harrison. In one of the discussions with a reporter, he said, before I met the Hare Krishnas, I had everything. But I was most dissatisfied because I would think someone somewhere has this or that more than I do. But when I met the Hare Krishnas, I have become fully satisfied. What is the antidote of envy? That also is given in Bhagavatam, 11th canto. The antidote of envy is santoshaha. Santoshaha means satisfaction. In Kanda Ramayana, I think it is in Kanda Ramayana or one of the Ramayans, there are 144 Ramayanas, different versions. Of course, Valmiki Ramayana is the main Ramayana. But in one of the other Ramayans, it's mentioned that there were two monkeys who were helping Ravana build a bridge, you know, over the ocean to cross over to Lanka. And the monkeys, they were helping by breaking some branches and throwing the branches in the ocean. They're chanting the name of Ram and throwing the branch, and the branch would join up and the bridge would be slowly formed. The bigger monkeys were throwing boulders and stones. So these two monkeys, they are on the branch of a tree, breaking the branch, throwing. One monkey, he broke the branch, and the other monkey was there next to him. He said, "Hey, do you know, I've heard that Ravana's Lanka is full of gold. It's made of gold. The walls are of gold. The ceiling is of gold. Everything is gold. Every single house in Lanka is made of gold." And this other monkey said, "Ravana's Lanka is made of gold. What do I have to do with it? Come on, just break the branch and throw it in the ocean." And the other monkey who was saying this, he said, "Oh, you are right. We have our tree. What's the point? Break the branch, throw it in the ocean." They were so much dutiful and thinking of the service to the Lord that Ravana's Lanka is of gold, so what do I have to do with it? Santoshaha. Santosha. See, that word is there also. Tushta. Last word there. It is from the same word. Tush means to be satisfied. I think the key is to be satisfied, and that satisfaction cannot come unless you are Krishna conscious. And Krishna consciousness will make sure your desires are purified. And when your desires are purified, there will be, these material desires will dwindle away. And when they dwindle away, if the desire doesn't exist, where is the cause of envy? If the root doesn't exist, where is the tree? So,
for me, the saddest thing is that I cannot appreciate his happiness.
Yes, it is not.
I'm bitter, angry, envious.
Yeah.
And I miss him actually.
It won't come. It won't happen overnight. It won't happen overnight. It's a process. But you start. You start by chanting Hare Krishna, attending the temple programs, associating with devotees. Make devotee friends. Never leave their association. The only way that you can progress in spiritual life is never leave the association of devotees.
This will set me free from my envy of my brother.
Yes, it will help you with everything. Directly. Not indirectly, directly. When you feel nourished, the desires are purified. What is the question? Most of the devotees are actually feeling sad sometimes because they are not connected with other devotees. Cultivate genuine friendship, genuine relationship with devotees. Yes.
You know, one of the best things, I would say in this as well, even if you start giving blessings to your brother, you know, because what you give, you receive. Yeah, it's the law of attraction. So you should be happy for him. You should not be envy. You should be happy. And you should see yourself that, oh, wow, one day I will have this all. And be happy. Serve him. Enjoy with him. Right? So it's all about your inside. You should be happy for him.
No, thank you for that. It's true that by cultivating a positive mindset, we can address this, like you said. And absolutely that works. It works. If I'm envious of someone, I appreciate that person. I'm happy for him. That works. But it works at a certain level. It does not go deeper until my very desire, which I have for enjoying the same thing that he possesses or she possesses, that very desire until that is addressed. That yeah, I agree. Positivity is good. But you can't be positive in certain circumstances. For example, Srila Prabhupada was also once faced with someone who was saying that the answer to everything is just be positive. So Srila Prabhupada said to his disciple, slap him. Just immediately, eh? And this manager said, the goal of everything is just be positive, you'll be happy. And Prabhupada says to his disciple, slap him. And no, we are not in a discussion here, and we can go on. But point is, the person immediately reacted. No, why? Stop. So, yes, positive thinking is there, it's a solution. I'm not saying it's not a solution. I'm not saying it should not be done. I'm not saying that I know many motivational speakers and all those modern gurus, they talk about positivity, positive thinking, passing on good vibrations and the law of attraction, what you do is what you attract, how you think of others is what others will think of you and all that. Great. Narad Muni is my guru. Motivational gurus are not my gurus. Narad Muni is my guru and he says, actually, Narad Muni is our guru because he is in this Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Parampara, right? And Narad Muni says very simply, purify your desires. Unless the desire doesn't go away, if the seed is still there, it will bud and it will pain. This purification of desire through devotional service. I know so many devotees who have from such phenomenal backgrounds they are. Some are rich, some are very educated. One devotee, his father is a professor at a big university. And he has three sisters and two brothers. And he's happy with what he is doing. And happiness is not defined by others. It's by how we feel satisfied. And that satisfaction is not possible without devotional service, without being in the association of devotees. That is the answer. Yes, you have a question? Yeah.
Not a question, but I'm also an identical twin, so I feel you, and me and my sister are very different. I grew up being the black sheep of the family, and I think probably what you mentioned about fulfilling your desire, I think, growing up as twins, we were in the same class, same form room. We were debating. I was a debating captain in one team. She was in the other. So literally, we grew up very competitively. But I think the moment that our relationship grew from that competitiveness was when we moved to universities and we did completely different things following our own nature. I think you've probably not found, I'm not a guru or qualified, just sharing my personal experience. Once you find what you thrive at, then you'd realize actually, even if you had everything your brother has, it might not necessarily make you happy. She went and did sciences, I read politics, she's doing great what she does. I'm happy, perfectly content at what I'm doing. So I think once you find what you're good at, find your dharma, I think then your relationship with your twin, would grow, because we have a fabulous relationship, but it wasn't the same until I realized, this is me and I'm going to follow what
Thank you. It seems you find, I told you, you find many people trying to help you. So, there are many people there. How many answers are there to your question? As many people in this room. But there's one answer. That you must consider over and above all answers. And that is the answer given by Narad Muni in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is by purifying your desires through the process of devotional service, one gets rid of all envy and becomes fully satisfied. Any questions related to the class? Anyone? If it's for helping him out, you can do it later. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. An amazing class. Not so much a question, but really amazing reflection in terms of the concentric circles.
Yes.
And having Krishna in the center. So we hear this a lot, but having visualized it and thinking about it, it's something which, you know, I found myself in that situation where I thought I'd known better when trying to cooperate in a situation, and I got stuck, and I just couldn't figure out how to go beyond that.
True.
So thank you. That's got me thinking.
Thank you. Yeah, if you have many circles, and if they will all intersect as long as the center is not the same. There will be conflict. There will be non-cooperation. But the center is the same. And even when center is the same, sometimes there's trouble, like we saw in the five Pandavas and Ashwatthama. Then we have to deal intelligently. Yes. Question? Yeah.
Haribol Prabhuji, it was, again, wonderful, wonderful discourse. My question is a bit of a wider question. So when we put Krishna at the center of our hearts, we're very fortunate to have exposure to such an amazing movement, to have presence of these devotees. How can we, or where does Krishna consciousness play a part on a wider level, on an international relations diplomatic level, with all these wars going on? How can we, do we carry that forward?
Yeah.
Where does spirituality and Krishna consciousness play a part on a world level?
Yeah, where does Krishna consciousness play a part on the world level, on the world stage? Srila Prabhupada answered this question when he was talking about the United Nations. He said the word United Nations is actually redundant because nobody is united in United Nations.
I think nobody actually cares. It's been
nobody cares about it, exactly. And it's still called United Nations. So Prabhupada said the real United Nations is possible when the leaders of society become God conscious. Prabhupada also said, you want to be a Muslim? Be a perfect Muslim. You want to be a Christian? Be a perfect Christian. You want to be a Jew? Be a perfect Jew. But be God conscious. When the goal of life is to love God and to serve Him and to see every single person in the universe as a part and parcel of God, as our brethren. Srila Prabhupada, even in an interview, he said to a professor, so why do you kill animals and eat them? They are also your brothers and sisters. Why don't you eat your own son? Prabhupada actually said that. If you read the book, Life Comes from Life, and that Prabhupada says, that's real fraternity that we call, you know, talk about. The real fraternity is not when you do your bit, I do mine, but we just scratch each other's back. That's not fraternity. That's not United Nations. That's not cooperation. That's only superficial. The real fraternity is when we recognize each other as sons and daughters, parts and parcels of God, who mutually come together to serve Him, to love Him. And Srila Prabhupada said that is the real foundation for a unification of the world. So, what can we practically do? Jara dekha tara koho Krishna upadesh. Mahaprabhu said, whoever you see, talk to them about Krishna, talk to them about God, talk to them about, you know, the loving service that you can render. And it will automatically raise the consciousness of the world. Right? That's a nice question. Thank you. All right, one last question and then I'll stop. Anyone? Okay. No one? You've got a question? No. No. All right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samvet Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. Hari Bol.